This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Young child has died as a result of going to Astro World, just 9 years old. So what does that mean as the lawsuits pile up? In the meantime, the jury in the Rittenhouse trial is possibly or could consider lesser charges as to whether he provoked the attack, because that's all what's coming up this week with the closings and ultimately what the jury decides, a very big week in that case, I'll explain. And then there's a lot of interesting things that happened, I think, over the weekend in the last couple of days that you may be aware of, including an Iowa poll that shows that Trump would lead Biden in a hypothetical 2024 matchup, which really could be what it boils down to for the Republicans, and then ultimately the Democrats trying to reelect Joe Biden, whose poll numbers continue to sink. Hey, hey, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. I know some people were dealing with snow. It's getting colder and colder depending on where you're listening to me, certainly in the Midwest and in the Northeast and even parts of the Southwest and the West, etc. I mean, we know how this is. You dip in and out. Let's talk about what happened now with Astro World. In other words, you know, so many people paying attention to, obviously, the sad story of the 9-year-old boy who was injured, died on Sunday. So now the death toll from that chaotic wild concert stands at 10. Funeral services for some of the victims started over the weekend. Lots and lots of lawsuits, as I mentioned, have been filed over this crazy tragedy. Very sad to see the pictures of Ezra Blunt that his family posted all over the place. He was in a medically induced coma in an attempt to try to overcome brain, liver, and kidney trauma, but it just it didn't work. So it's got to be incomprehensible to think of a 9-year-old dying that way, but this is that concert. So, you know, people were crushed and trampled and struggled to breathe because a very packed crowd surged toward an outdoor stage when the rapper and headliner Travis Scott started performing. So first responders started to hear of crowd injuries at about 9:30 a couple of weeks ago when the show was unfolding, but the show continued on for another 40 minutes, and this is what really sticks, I think, in the craw of a lot of people and why so much conversation is centering around Scott, what happened, why wasn't it stopped, that whole kind of thing. So, of course, the Houston mayor offers condolences. The news spread fast about Ezra's passing. It was all over Twitter. And the Blunt family has, you know, released all that information, and the Harris County Medical Examiner's Office did as well. And the Travis Scott people haven't said much about that. They mostly have said that they're sorry for the loss of life and that kind of thing. But I think now it's a question of what unfolds as a result of the scrutiny that's on Travis Scott's concerts, which, by the way, are known for chaos. Worth mentioning here, there was so much security, private security, police, etc. And obviously, it still got crazy enough that there was the human crush, the bodies toward the stage, that too many people got caught up into the middle of this. And this is going to take a while to sort out legally, but I do think there's going to be more and more and more lawsuits. All right, this is big in all of our backyards, the constant buzz of to vax or not, and the repercussions of not getting the vaccine, the reaction to people from schools, to businesses, et cetera, and then, of course, the mandate. So an appeals court barred President Biden's vaccine mandate for large employers. If you hadn't heard this story, it was a three-judge panel that declared that the rule, which requires big companies to force their workers, you may work at one of these companies, to get vaccinated or submit to weekly testing, grossly exceeds the authority of Occupational Safety Agency. That was how it was worded. The Supreme Court is expected to eventually decide on this. In the meantime, school nurses say they're juggling COVID-19 cases and quarantines, and parents are more furious than ever on all sides of this, on being forced with the idea that they have to wear a mask, their kids have to wear a mask, or that they're not having to wear a mask. So, you know, the quarantine, what happens there? For example, you know, in some locker rooms, you have kids that are unmasked, and then you have others where they can. But then you, when you go into a quarantine, they can't get back to school for at least 10 days. So it has been different and difficult. 20 or 12 to 15-year-olds have been eligible for vaccines since May, but not a lot are getting it necessarily. Just 48% of children in that age group have been fully vaccinated. That's CDC numbers. That's what they're saying, because all of that gets reported. But the vast majority of elementary school students who just became eligible for the shots a couple of weeks ago are still unvaccinated. So what a lot of schools are saying is they're overwhelmed, they're exhausted, they hate their jobs now. School nurses, a lot of them are quitting at crazy levels that we haven't seen before. And think about that. Did you know your school nurse? I remember I knew the school nurse and how important of a job actually that is, especially in some of these, well, any size elementary school. It doesn't matter whether it was small or a bigger one, but they're finding that they have to try to reach out and figure out how they're going to replace those school nurses. All right, and I said the jury deliberations are expected to start this week in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. So there's six criminal counts against Rittenhouse that the jury will be considering. I mentioned this briefly. They could be asked to weigh lesser charges. Closing arguments happen on Monday morning. So it's a very big deal, and a lot of people are watching this. If there is a buzz in the world or in the U.S., the focus, part of the focus is on this trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So it's going to come down to a matter of deciding whether Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense when he shot three men in the middle of this demonstration in Kenosha, Wisconsin, or whether he was committing first-degree intentional homicide. So 12 jurors will get that case, and they'll have to figure out different decisions, I think, relating to this, right? Because of the counts, that what he's been charged with for what happened on that August night in, you know, in 2020. He was 17 when he came to Kenosha with a semi-automatic rifle amid all of that unrest over a police shooting and fired eight shots. So that's where we're at. That's how long this has taken to go through. And the judge indicated on Friday heading into the weekend he's going to let the jury consider offenses less serious than the ones he stands charged with, but didn't announce what those charges might be. So stay tuned for more, certainly, on that this week. Like I said, a very, very big week. Your thoughts? We're hitting the mailbag next.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build. I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to Meta.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Of your virtual mail. You can send me whatever your thoughts are 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact and let it flow. All right, so let's go to the first one this time around. This is from Michael, who says, "Hey, Kate, I listen to you in Wisconsin. Thanks for the shout outs when you mention our state and mention the times that you've been here. We can't wait to host you. Again, I listen to you on 680 AM. I'm looking at this Rittenhouse thing and the judge mentioning lesser charges, I think, is a hint of things to come. I believe what he decides those lesser charges are could be the way the jury goes. Of course, it is really hard to know. Not sitting in that courtroom, just hearing what's happened afterwards. You've talked about it. Other people have talked about it. And I think it's so emotionally charged. What will those 12 jurors decide ultimately? And I think there was something about the idea of the lesser charges that could end up becoming a tie-in to where this will end up. Yeah, I do too. It's interesting because of what's happened in this and paying attention and looking at it and talking to attorneys about this. There's been a lot of speculation, right? Because speculation about the evidence and speculation about can you really, when you're talking about guilty to these certain charges and you look at some of the video evidence and what happens with that video evidence and how it's been presented and what that evidence would normally probably weigh in as pretty big in some juries, this might not be quite as big because of the way the judge handled it. And I think a lot of people have written about that. So, you know, you look at Rittenhouse and what the footage shows and what it shows he's doing with his rifle before the first fatal shooting. And ultimately, you have the prosecution saying he instigated the conflict and the defense saying something completely opposite of that. And I think it's how the judge's personal experiences, what he said, how he's a dinosaur when it comes to video, and then also how the jury looks at that and how they weigh what he has said. I mean, I think this judge has weighed in a lot on what's happening and the way evidence is being presented. But I think when you look at the self-defense claim, will the jurors agree that he was the aggressor, or will they go with the self-defense? And what's interesting is, this is, of course, serious, the six counts. He could get life in prison if convicted of the most serious offense, first-degree intentional homicide. He's pled guilty to not all charges. I think, again, whatever the lesser charges are that the judge was insinuating that would be, lesser charges, that could be the way this ends up going, because it made me wonder about that. Like, why is he saying that? So we'll see what happens, Michael. All right, this one is from Jack, and Jack says, "Hey, Kate, I look at this mandate, and I have some friends that have been affected by this. I have friends who are not vaccinated. I have friends that who are vaccinated. I don't understand personally why they won't get vaccinated, but I respect people's decisions, even if I think they're dumb ones. But the idea of this requirement now, what the Federal Appeals Court has done, I don't know that this really ever goes into effect, or at least it gets pushed further down the road, probably, because when you look at what can happen and what was threatened that would happen if the original mandate was set into motion by December, and what would happen to deliveries with already problems with the supply chain, which then pushed off the date, I don't know that this ever, this vaccine requirement ever really gets any traction. I think what you're trying to say, or what you're talking about, is the Federal Appeals Court in New Orleans, and I mentioned that, which stopped the vaccine requirement for private businesses. So it's a setback for one of the big things that Biden was talking about. It was that 3-judge panel. And they're temporarily halting the mandate, right, in response to lawsuits filed by Republican-aligned businesses and legal groups, I guess is the best way to say that. So they're taking a scalpel to it. They're looking at it. So for now, yeah, that's temporarily halted for now. All right, this one is from Elle, who says, "Hey, Kate, I was wondering when you have people on from other countries, I was wondering what was happening in the EU and if there have been more surges, and what's the deal with any new variants?" That's a great question. There is a new variant in France. In Europe, there has been a surge, and so is that a warning to us that often we follow behind that? Could we see a resurgence? Ugh, I don't even want that to leave my lips, but case numbers have soared there. They went up like 50% last month. So is that a trend that we're going to see in the U.S. and maybe some other countries? 2 million cases were reported across Europe this last week, and it's the most that they've had in a single week since the pandemic started. Germany especially is getting hit with new infections. Johns Hopkins says it's more than 50,000. The Netherlands, they've got 16,000 cases, and that prompted a partial lockdown on Saturday, and that's supposed to last for at least 3 weeks or so, that they're saying at this point. And despite the surge, by the way, daily death rates in all the countries I mentioned have still been stable compared with past spikes. So that's good, because we're saying, yes, there's more cases, but the deaths, they're not spiking the way that they have disastrously in the beginning of the pandemic. So that's a great question, and it's something to look at. And of course, a new variant is just not, what we want to hear, right? This new variant that they're talking about now is the B1640, and it's, we knew there was going to be more mutations, and so there you go. There is more mutations, and the mutations, it could also be, they're either calling it B1640 or B1X, and it was a French school that reported it last month. The school where the outbreak happened was forced to close half of its classes, and that situation, I guess, is now under control, but it just, it exploded. It was like a mini surge event, if you will. So they're looking at it as the mutations it has. It has a, I guess, the spike protein. So to explain the spike protein, it allows the virus to cling to the human cell and start the infection process, and it has some deletions, I guess. Will it make it more or less infectious is the key thing, right? And it was obviously in that school situation, it was infectious, and then they got it under control, thank goodness. But, I mean, yeah, you got to watch this. You got to watch what's happening in other places. That's why, I mean, globally, we have to care, right? We're all in this hell together. That's it. That's what we're looking at, right? All right, so you know how they, I don't say they, you know how when there's weather problems or there's unrest, like already in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the National Guard has been amped up, you know, a little bit more, because could there be protests depending on what the jury decides once the jury gets that case? So we always look to the National Guard as our, one of our lines of defense in the United States. The Oklahoma National Guard has decided, when we talk about vax requirements, that they're rejecting the COVID vaccine mandate. They had a change in command, and this has made big conversation, virtual water cooler stuff. So the new commander has declared that they're not going to enforce the Defense Department's COVID-19 vaccine mandate on the troops. Army Brigadier General Thomas Mancino was announced as Oklahoma's new adjunct general, and he hasn't been confirmed by the state Senate yet, but it's supposed to be kind of a layup. And that's what they're saying, that at this point they're not going to follow the COVID-19 requirement. Man Cave next.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Biden is returning to the White House after a weekend away at Camp David, and tomorrow he's going to have a busy Monday. The president expected to sign the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill recently passed by Congress. And then tomorrow evening, President Biden is to have a virtual summit the first ever bilateral meeting he'll be having with the Chinese President Xi Jinping. Investigators are reportedly telling the Daughtry family that the death of their eldest daughter was a homicide. Sources close to the family also telling TMZ that her boyfriend, Bobby Jolly, was taken into custody in Tennessee, police not revealing any details about the arrest or even whether he's a suspect in the death of the 25-year-old woman, who's the daughter of Chris Daughtry, the founder of the band Daughtry, following his American Idol stardom. Closing arguments are set to begin tomorrow morning in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha County, Wisconsin. 31 people were called to the stand over 8 days in the trial as Rittenhouse is accused of shooting and killing two men during civil unrest in Kenosha in the summer of 2020. He's claiming self-defense. Inflation on the minds of many, and now Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says inflation will likely continue to be an issue of concern through mid-2022.
It really depends on the pandemic. The pandemic has been calling the shots for the economy and for inflation.
Speaking there on CBS's Face the Nation, Yellen said continuing to make progress against COVID-19 will cause inflation to go down. The Treasury chief predicting that prices could revert back to normal levels by next summer if the U.S. is successful in handling the pandemic. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
I'm going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave.
Andy, thanks so much as always for that. We are in the man cave. I have to tell you, in week five of the NFL, I'm in a pool with a whole bunch of people from North Carolina and maybe people all over the country, but the guys who wrangled everybody together now for almost two decades, they're from the Carolinas. So 13 right, my picking in week five. This week, six. Luckily, everybody else pretty much was in that range, and I had built up the amount of games that I've won so far in the season, so I'm in contention for, if the season were to end, I would end up someplace in the money, as they say. But this week six, week 10, six correct picks. And think about week five, 13. This is another crazy week in the NFL, which is why I tell all of you listening, play our game, nail the score, because you could win. There is no rhyme or reason or symmetrical scores in football. It could be any score. You're just picking a score. You're coming up with what team's going to win and what you think the final score will be. I mean, ta-da, it's that easy. It's not that easy to nail it, but it's that easy to come up with a guess, to weigh in, so to speak, right? Very easy to do that. So this time around, and I'll bring this up first, and then we'll dive into what the weekend was like. And, of course, ending with Sunday night, the Chiefs 41-14 over the Raiders. So they're now 6-4. I watched a big chunk of that game. Much better, Pat Mahomes. So still, we're in the beginning of this. We're still not used to what we used to see from Pat Mahomes. You know, it's still not quite that same thing that we used to see, but pretty good. Let's put it that way. Pretty good. I got to give him credit. So Monday, it's the Rams, rather, and the 49ers, and then that's a wrap for the week. The Cowboys just slaughtered the Falcons. I mean, everything the Cowboys did, the interceptions, the passing of Dak Prescott just worked like a charm. It was amazing, right? 43-3. The Falcons, just terrible. CeeCee Lamb, the wide receiver for Dallas, one of them anyway, 94 yards, two catches, but so important, two touchdowns, but so important. He is the sure hands man, that's for sure. The Titans beat the Saints, but it's another one of those tight games. 23-21 was the final score there. So, you know, you look at Simeon, the quarterback for New Orleans, and almost 300 yards passing and a couple of touchdowns. They could have won this, but, you know, Tannehill really made the Saints pay for a fumble in a touchdown pass to Pruitt, and that was the difference in the end. The Colts beat Jacksonville, but barely. The defense was the noisemaker there, 23-17. Patriots look like the Patriots that we've seen in the past. It was like, is Tom Brady the quarterback? A 45-7 over the Browns. Yeah. It was really, really tough for the Browns. They could not get anything working right. The Bills bounced back after their loss to Jacksonville in the previous week, 45-17. I don't think this is a surprise. Josh Allen, 366 yards passing and a couple of touchdowns. Stephon Diggs, one of his favorite receivers, had a nice touchdown. 162 yards for him, by the way. Final in overtime. Overtime. Lions, they just cannot get that win, right? But at least they have a tie. 16 apiece between them and the Steelers. Boy, that was a soggy, wet day in Pittsburgh. Washington, here's a shocker, beat the Buccaneers. So another down day, another up-down day for Tom Brady. 29-19, Washington. Ugh, Washington is terrible. 3-6 now. Don't tell them that. Cam Newton is back, and he looked in the camera and said, I'm back after his first touchdown. The Panthers beat the Cardinals 34-10. Cardinal fans, a lot of you always checking in and sending me your thoughts on the game. So they were mere mortals in this game. 8-2 now at this point, and Cam Newton had his first two touches resulted in touchdowns, so that was big. The Vikings, there was a Viking sighting. They beat the Chargers 27-20 in California. Kirk Cousins, he connected with Conklin a couple of times, or he connected with him for the second touchdown of the day in that game, and the Vikings looked a lot better in this one. The Eagles beat the Broncos 30-13. 30-13. Wow. Darius Slay had an incredible return, and the Eagles scooped up a nice win. They're 4-6. Not a team to look at as contenders, but they were scrappy in this, and they pulled out a win. The Packers, Aaron Rodgers, everybody wanted to see what was going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. He did have a interception, almost threw for 300 yards. He's a little misty after the game, and Green Bay wins it. They're 8-2, 17-0 over the Seahawks, who had Russell Wilson back after his finger surgery. So he was back, but the Seahawks couldn't really get it together. It was kind of a weird game. There was a lot of stops and starts and penalties, and there's no, like, rhythm to it. And at the halfway point, it was 3-0. The 14 points that the Packers put up were in the fourth quarter, so then they walk away with the win, like I said, 17 altogether. And I already told you about the Chiefs and the Raiders. Mahomes with 5 touchdown passes in a blowout win, and it was another, again, crazy week when you look at the scores. Some of them lopsided, some of them super, super close. there is no rhyme or reason other than you can look statistically at things or look at injuries, look at what really worked well for some of the teams this past week. But for our purposes of having the fun game, the Nail the Score game on Wednesday into Thursday, first hour, last segment, you're picking a score and telling me who you think is going to win the game. And you could win amazing prizes if you are, if you're lucky, right? By the way, Russell Wilson did not blame his surgery for that crazy shutout loss. He was asked about it afterwards, and he said, my finger's fine. So I wouldn't blame it on that. I had a couple of bad plays. That's what it boiled down to, and that's it. There was a couple of throws that were high. That's why that question was relevant and asked, of course, because he was back. But he wouldn't blame it on that. So how about that? The Packers win because Aaron Rodgers had so much of a hot spotlight on him for COVID 19 testing positive just the other week. He said he felt emotional and exhausted after the win. It certainly wasn't his best game ever, but I think he was satisfied with the win. He said it was good to be back with the guys, good to be back home, good to be on the field. The most emotions from the whole night was walking off the field after the game. It got him misty, is what he said, his own words. It was good to feel those types of emotions and good to be back with the guys. And when he was asked why he got misty, he said, I just don't take these things for granted. Walking off the field as a winner, it's fun beating that squad. We've had a lot of battles over the years. So it was only Rodgers' second career win without a touchdown pass and at least one interception. He, in those kinds of games, he was 1-5 in the past, if you look at the stats. So a big win for him. And he conducted his post-game news conference, by the way, through Zoom after the Packers were fined $300,000 last week, in part because the quarterback broke the COVID protocol that requires unvaccinated players to speak to reporters either virtually or in person while wearing a mask. He didn't say why he decided to go virtual on Sunday, but that's what happened. He said, I'm happy, I'm tired. It's been a long 10 days. So they still have, the Packers, two more games before their bye week, which is week 13. And it was weird because, it was weird for him because he was massively criticized and then supported, too, for his comments on vaccines and acknowledged last week he might have misled the public about his vaccination status when he said at the end of August that he had been immunized. And so then he released a statement about how polarizing the issue is and that there's always going to be criticism. I understand that. I'm grateful for the people around me and all those that reached out. So they move on. They have a couple more games, and then they get a bye week. Speaking of moving on, in the NBA, the Hawks had to move on. They beat the Bucks on Sunday, 120-100. But, you know, this is, again, early going. Trae Young, 42 points in the win. But the Hawks lose Hunter to surgery. You know, injuries in any sport can wreak havoc. So DeAndre Hunter has to repair a right wrist injury. And it's probably about 8 weeks, could be a little more or less. He got that injury in a loss that they suffered to the Warriors back on November 8th. So he's got a tendon injury that has to have surgery. You know, this is a guy who's got incredible upside, but he's really, really struggled with injuries pretty early going in his NBA career. He had, it was right knee surgery in February, missed 49 games last regular season while recovering. All right, we're closing the door to the man cave, and we'll finish this sucker off next.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build. I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to meta.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
So pleased to be joined by Jeremy Walters. We think about recycling. We think about, I think, the future. I know I certainly do in my family. My husband is so good at this, and we're going to learn so much from Jeremy with Republic Services. What are the things that are and are not meant for the recycling bin? This is key for so many people. And how to decode exactly what the symbols are, by the way, on packaging. What does it all really mean? So he's going to give it to us all. And by the way, America Recycles Day is November 15th. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
So, really, this is the whole enchilada. I love it. So, throwing away. What to throw away? What should we always recycle? I mean, I'm thinking cardboard, paper, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're absolutely on the right track. So the cardboard, the paper, plastic bottles and jugs, metal food and beverage containers, and then depending on where you live in the country, possibly glass bottles and jars. That's it.
Yeah, so that's it. I mean, there's the list. So remember the list, and I'm going to say this on my show. I'm going to keep reminding people about it. And I think there's confusion because when it comes to recycling, what are some of the mistakes that a lot of us make? I know I probably made some of them.
Yeah, there's a number of mistakes that people make. And first and foremost is probably the most common. When it comes to plastic, not all plastic is created equal. So if you caught on to what I said earlier, it's the bottles and jugs, the rigid plastic containers are what are suited for recycling. So the most problematic that we see, most problematic thing that we see across the country is the flexible plastic. So think grocery bags, bubble wrap, trash bags, you know, even bag wrappers, chip wrappers, those things create challenges at a recycling center by wrapping and tangling around the sorting equipment. That is probably the single biggest issue that plagues the recycling industry.
Yeah, and of course, people preparing things, not just throwing recyclables out with some food in them. You know, how do we need to prepare the stuff that we want to recycle before we do toss them out?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. We do need to do a little bit of prep work with the good recyclables. Those bottles, jugs, cans, you know, they're all designed to hold some sort of food or liquid. We do need to rinse them out before we throw them in the recycling bin. Practice what we call empty, clean, dry. And it's just making sure that there's no residual soup or pasta sauce or, you know, juice left in a bottle, jug, or jar. And the reason that we ask you to rinse those things out is that while paper and cardboard is great for recycling, it's only great for recycling if it's clean and dry. If you leave that leftover soup in the can and it spills on a cardboard box, we unfortunately have to throw that cardboard box away.
Yeah, so then that doesn't help anyone. And I mentioned at the top of this, decoding the recycling symbols on packaging. I think this is key, and a lot of times people don't look at it and don't really understand what it means. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and you know, it creates all sorts of confusion because just about everything these days is stamped with a recyclable symbol on it. But that doesn't mean that it always belongs in your curbside recycling bin. So sometimes you got to take a little closer look. And I'll go back to those flexible plastics because they're notorious for having recyclable symbols on them. And, you know, we've all been trained. We see a recycling symbol, we throw it in the recycling bin because we're thinking that we're doing the right thing. But take a closer look next time you get something shipped to your door. Those air-filled pillow packs oftentimes will have that symbol, but if you look closely inside those chasing arrows, it'll say store drop-off only.
Yeah. All right, so that's a great tip. What are some other tips that you can give out to us as far as recycling is concerned?
So keep it loose. Like I said, the flexible plastics, I'm going to keep going back to those. Those create a number of challenges here at the recycling center. So once you collect your good recyclables, once you practice empty, clean, dry, throw them loose inside the recycling bin. Our process is separating out single types of material as we go. So just plastic, just metal, just paper, just cardboard. So throwing things loose will help us be efficient and capture as much recyclable material as possible.
Yeah. I want to tell everybody that you're a sustainability ambassador for Republic Services. And of course, they're an industry leader in this country, in the U.S., in recycling and non-hazardous waste. And for 7 years, you worked as a sustainability and public outreach professional. So you've seen a lot of different things come down the pike. Are we at a good time for this? Are people paying more attention?
Yeah, I think generally people are, you know, in tune with wanting to recycle and wanting to do it correctly. So we just need to be mindful of, you know, what we throw in the recycling bin and how we can be impactful when we do it. You know, there's a lot of folks, again, that want to do the right thing, and sometimes that leads to challenges. We call it wish cycling. You may be standing over your recycling bin holding something in your hand. You feel like it should be recyclable, but you're not quite sure. You can't just throw anything in the recycling bin because that creates challenges. So, you know, you'll hear people say, when in doubt, throw it out. But, you know, maybe when in doubt, find out. Find out if you can or cannot recycle it.
So I like that. When in doubt, hashtag when in doubt, find out. Jeremy Walters, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate.
You know, what's so interesting to me is what you do with recyclable things that can be ultimately turned into something else, like turning trash into products. And people have created a mountain of cash by repurposing trash, right? It is something that's happening where you've got products that are recycled, and all the way around, it can be an incredible thing. And I've noticed that more. I start to look at that when it comes to some of the things I'm buying, like, wow, that's recycled. That's pretty cool. Because I'll tell you what, I certainly don't want to be that person that lives here. I don't know about the rest of you, wherever you're listening to me. I don't care if it's Iowa, Louisiana, the great state of Texas where I am, Florida, New York, Connecticut, Wisconsin. I think what we all have in common is none of us want to live near an awful, stinky, gross landfill or giant incinerators or any of that kind of stuff. So whatever taps into something that's easy to do, I think, and re-rack that into something else, I think, thumbs up. It's all good. If you can take junk and turn it into something else and do that, and now there's a lot of ways that's happening, and you'd be surprised when you look around and you start to see, you know, even see some of the containers you have and what they do with it. I think that is the key, right? But like he and I talked about, and of course this is his deal, and he knows is what can you throw in a recycling bin and what can't you? Any place you go, whether it's it could be a muni golf course or it could be, you know, some kind of a festival that you're at. They have everything seems to be broken down into here's the recyclable container and then here's the rest of the trash. Even in airports, I noticed that when I was traveling last time. Oh yeah, they're everywhere. Here's the two different ways, two different places that you can chuck your trash, and just knowing which one it is. All right, as we have just a minute or two left here at the end of this hour, a couple of quick things. One, I mentioned at the top of this, 9-year-old boy injured at the Astro World Festival died. Sad story there. So now the death toll is 10. There's still lots of conversation about that. We've talked a lot about these crazy assaults on airlines. A Southwest airline employee was taken to a Dallas hospital on Saturday. Once again, assaulted by a passenger. This one close to my backyard, Love Field Airport. That's their headquarters. And the female passenger. So it's not just, people just assume it's men that are doing this. No, it's across the board. It's not a gender thing. So the female passenger verbally and physically assaulted the operations person shortly after being asked to get off a flight that she had boarded from Dallas to LaGuardia Airport in New York City. So she just, again, got into an altercation. So she was charged with aggravated assault. And she's held on $10,000 bond. She's still being held on that, to my knowledge, because I checked right before I jumped on the air. So how about that? So she had to go to a local hospital, right? I mean, Southwest is saying we have a zero tolerance policy on any kind of harassment or assault. And we support our employees as we're cooperating with local authorities. People, what is going on? Oh, if you can't mind your temper, don't get on these planes. You had one flight attendant, I've said this before, that was punched in the face. It's been like this past month already, or earlier this month, 10 violent airline passengers fined a total of $250,000. Whoa. All right. Big thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show, and Jeremy P. for his fine work, as always, on the technicals of this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.